From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Sacramento's mayor did not use his State of the City speech yesterday in the typical way. He did not list all the accomplishments of the past year. Instead, he said he wanted to look honestly at race, at peace, at social justice, and the shooting of Stephon Clark.
The core of our city is not just about geography. It's about people, and it's about values. There is strength everywhere in our city. The view from Mack Road, Del Paso Boulevard, Northgate Boulevard, and Marina Vista Alder Grove is as important as the view from J Street. And the life chances of a third grader growing up in one zip code should be no less than those of a third grader growing up in another.
So let's dive deeper into the mayor's comments and yesterday's event. In the studio with me are Cap Radio reporters Bob Moffett.
Hi, Bob. Good morning.
Sammy Kaola's here.
Hi, Beth.
And Pauline Bartoloni.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, Pauline. So who came to this speech? And this was in the neighborhood, as you say, outside of the immediate core of the downtown. Who was there?
That's right. Well, the room at the Pinnell Center was packed, but it wasn't clear how many of the folks were actually from the neighborhood. Someone from the Meadowview Neighborhood Association said he recognized a handful of folks. He doesn't know everybody in Meadowview, but the folks who were Meadowview residents had a positive reaction to the speech. They felt it was a positive affirmation of their neighborhood, because the mayor hasn't given a State of the City speech, at least, outside of the urban core. So for him to come to the neighborhood and speak to them and to talk about the history of disenfranchisement of African Americans and to talk about the shooting of Stephon Clark in their neighborhood was really a recognition of them.
Meadowview is where that shooting happened, March 18th of last year, so this location was less than a mile away. You talked to someone from the Neighborhood Association. And by the way, everybody there has become very accustomed to, like it or not, being not only in the regional or statewide spotlight, but the national spotlight and beyond since last year.
That's right. Yeah. Jesse Reese he's the president of the Meadowview Neighborhood Association. He was one of the people who really appreciated the mayor's speech yesterday.
So I'm proud to see him come out in this area and have the State of the City address. And I thought the speech was wonderful. He touched on exactly what the community needs. He spoke on Measure U, and we will be getting people, hopefully from this area, to sit on Measure U committee to make sure some of those funds are indeed directed in these areas. So we're always hopeful.
So Reese was saying that he'd like some of the Measure U funds to go to developing some of the empty lots in Meadowview. Maybe there could be some businesses developed in the area. Youth programs are always in need of funds. There was a bit of skepticism about why there's so much attention to Meadowview after the shooting of Stephon Clark. People were saying, you know, Meadowview has needed resources for a long time. Why are people paying attention to us after the shooting? And basically, Reese's comment on that was, well, it's kind of like when a neighborhood asks for stop signs and traffic lights and they don't give it to them until a pedestrian is killed.
We need some background on Measure U. Bob, you want to do the...
Well, let me follow up on what Pauline just said really quickly in that the fact that all of these people maybe have not been from the Meadowview neighborhood were at the speech, although it is important to note, it's also important to note that all of the people who are normally at the State of the City address, all the department heads, all the people who are the movers and shakers in the city, who make money, private money go, who are, you know, collaborate, they were there. And so I think it was important that they were all coming into this neighborhood as well. I think that was one reason why this was held there.
Is that to say that for some people it might have been the first time in Meadowview? It might have been the first time to this community center?
I don't know if it was the first time they'd ever been to the community center, because the community center has held events over the years and people will come down there. But to have them all in the same place, I think, really drove home that neighborhoods that have maybe been in a state of inequity for decades, you know, need assistance, and that this was a sign from the mayor, at least, that, you know, he wants them to address, to look at these pockets.
And I'll also add that there was a a pretty big contingent of youth from John Still there. It's a neighborhood school. Some were there as musicians on the drum line. Some were there doing some multimedia work. And so it was great to see the kids out with the mayor, meeting public officials, meeting people from downtown, and just sort of seeing overlaps where you don't usually see them.
Musicians from Luther Burbank, too. So there was definitely a spirit and a tone that was set before the mayor even started. What adjectives would you give that, the prologue or the preface to this?
Well, it's an interesting question for a couple of reasons. A, the drum line that came in was nice. It was neat to hear. It was kind of weird seeing the mayor, you know, coming in,
bopping and shaking,
yeah, behind behind a drum line. I was not expecting it. And it certainly gave an idea that hey, we're in a neighborhood of culture and community and color, and we're here to embrace all of that. That entails.
The mayor said in advance that he would get personal, and he did. And he took opportunities to distinguish between his life and the life experience of many people that live in the neighborhood and are in the audience. With that, Bob, I want to play a piece of his speech, and we'll talk more about this, where he was quite vivid in his description of the different experiences that families in the region have with their children.
Many African-American parents do in fact teach their 16-year-olds to hold the 10-2 steering wheel position when they are pulled over. Show your hands. I never would have thought to mention such a thing to my kids when they learn to drive.
He was clear and honest multiple times in that way. But before we go farther with that thought, I do want to wrap around to measure you to describe how this plays into the formula of what he wants to do.
$40 million a year for the next 5 years. It's $200 million. It is about 80% of the new additional half-cent sales tax. That leaves, though, according to the mayor, about $10 million a year for other projects. There will also be revenue, anticipated revenue from the cannabis industry, and there will be also, they're assuming, more tax money coming in from developments and expansion within the city. So it's a huge chunk of the new half-cent sales tax, but it's not all of it.
Do you want to add to that, Sammy?
Yeah, I'll just say that Measure U is a big deal to a lot of the community leaders that I talked to, people who work not just in Meadowview, but in Del Paso Heights and Arden Arcade, and these neighborhoods where nonprofits have historically worked kind of on shoestring budgets. They've been doing the work on the ground, trying to make after-school programs for kids, trying to get employment opportunities for their youth, trying to just get everyone on a path to success, but it's really hard for them to do that without this sort of funding, this really big deal funding. And so I sort of went around and I asked them, what is this going to mean for you? And do you think it's going to come through? And I talked to Jackie Rose. She's with the Rose Family Creative Empowerment Center in Meadowview.
I can sit down with a justifiably traumatized African-American mother and a young police officer an hour apart, telling their side of the historic divide, and my head spins. One's experience does not invalidate the other's. Who is right? What is right? Can't we find better ways to listen, to protect, to help each other heal?
So that was more of the mayor's speech, more of the context. We did want to get to Jackie Rose, and I think it was interesting to compare when the mayor stepped out in such a personal way, how people took that in, to what degree they took that in. So now let's listen to more from Jackie Rose.
That piece was absolutely something that was out of a civil rights speech, in my opinion, in regards to it really talking about equity and those folks that feel hopeless and figuring out how we can actually lift those folks up. That piece right there coming from the mayor means an awful lot for me and this community that in lots of ways have been forgotten.
Bob, more about the history and why a statement like that came from Jackie.
Well, the mayor's addressing the a matter of inequity, and Sammy just touched on it with the matter of funding over the years. Nonprofits have been in these neighborhoods trying to, you know, do good without a lot of financial assistance. But it's not just the last couple of years. The mayor, you know, brought up that the old West End part of Sacramento was demolished to make way for Interstate 5. It was labeled a blighted area. And he pointed out that the reason that it was described as a blighted area is because the Federal Housing Administration refused to give mortgages to homeowners who weren't white. And so a lot of that population then moved east to Oak Park and south to Meadowview and then maybe north to Del Paso Heights. But even then, again, there were problems with purchasing properties for African American families, and that there were things called there were people who they called them purchasers who purchased the property on behalf of these people of color so that they could buy them. Otherwise, they didn't have a chance to buy it. So it's that sort of institutional problem that, you know, was that kind of pushed a population down, and then problems stemmed from that once they weren't on an equal footing. And so now he's trying to put this influx of money, trying to correct those wrongs.
Right. And Jackie mentioned civil rights in her comment. And there's actually another audience member who said, I'm so glad this is happening during Black History Month. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what we need from the mayor during Black History Month. So I think there was a lot of acknowledgement that racism was being addressed in a big way.
And folks, I just want to emphasize how much people really appreciated Steinberg's historical references to the creation of the neighborhood. Stefante Clark, the brother of Stefan Clark, was there. You know, he praised the mayor. He said the mayor's doing a good job. He said his speech in Meadowview is a good way to highlight some of the problems in Meadowview. But he also says we can't forget about other neighborhoods like Del Paso Heights that also need resources and public attention.
You're listening to CAP Radio. Reporters Pauline Bartolone, Sammy Caola, and Bob Moffett. They attended yesterday's State of the City address by Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. The address held in the Meadowview neighborhood of South Sacramento. The centerpiece for a lot of people of this speech was what we are labeling with one word, and that is the apology. And for those of you who haven't heard it, we're going to share it. For those of you who have, know that this is highly unusual in a State of the City speech or a speech by any leader. It's also a reflection of the mayor's effort to try to go deeper into some issues that caused so much of the event happenings in Sacramento over the last year. So here then again is Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg.
The shooting of Stefan Clark, less than a mile from where we gather this morning, did not create this moment, but it undoubtedly intensified and elevated the movement by ripping open deep wounds in our past. How do I, as your mayor, give voice to the pain that is so real and so raw in our community? How do I, as a relatively privileged white man, let my suffering community members know that they do not suffer alone, that their elected leaders are genuinely committed to change? How do I step into your shoes? I start by saying and meaning the only thing that I know matters to Stefan's family and many in our community. I am deeply sorry for what happened to Stefan. I am deeply sorry for the pain that will always be with you. The outcome was wrong. He should not have died.
So the mayor is talking a lot here about pain and suffering, and that's real. I've been talking to the family, we all have, and they are still grieving. They are still healing. There is a huge amount of trauma that happened not just to his immediate family, but his entire neighborhood. And so the question is an apology enough? And it's a really interesting time for the mayor to say sorry, because the family is waiting on a review from the Sacramento DA about what's going to happen. Are these officers going to be held accountable for the shooting? So there's a lot of tension. And the family has also sued the city for wrongful death. So I checked in with Stefante, Stefan Clark's brother, about what this apology means.
So what does the apology do? Then I think, seeing it, I don't know if it was sincere or I don't know if it was a political move to level things, you know. At the same time, an apology isn't for us. At this point, it's too late, you know. So apology for the community. I think this community needs an apology, you know. Law enforcement failed the Clark family. The response the city had when it comes to my brother's death, I feel like failed the Clark family, you know. The community leaders, I feel after my brother died, failed the Clark family. These are things that I feel. So it takes time for me to acknowledge and accept something when I feel so failed.
That's Stefante Clark, the brother of Stefan Clark. Pauline, you spoke to Stefante a little bit, too. Do you want to add some more comment?
I did. Yeah, I mean, he appreciated the mayor's speech in Meadowview. But then he also said there are a lot of other folks who are hurting, folks in the Del Paso neighborhood, Heights neighborhood, and that public officials should acknowledge folks on the second ring of suburbs, so to speak, outside of Sacramento.
When you talked to him, Sammy, though, was he attentive and wanting to hear how the mayor would address this? Was that important to him?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, he does give the mayor a lot of credit for what he's done so far. And Stefani's been really active. He's been going to meetings. He's been talking to people who work for the city. He wants to make change, and he's pretty committed to doing that firsthand with the mayor.
So, Bob, this does wrap us around to the issue of policing. And besides the Sacramento County District Attorney's report, we're also waiting for the results of the investigation on the state level from the Attorney General's office. All that could come at the time of the anniversary of the shooting or later. We don't know yet. But what has been happening in the years since is progress, review, transparency in policing guidelines. Even that, though, for some people hasn't been enough.
Well, and for some people, it may never be enough. You know, decades of experience in one way or another is difficult to overcome, whatever the reasons for that experience. I don't think, you know, we're in a position to really get into that maybe here since we haven't experienced it. But I know that the department's been looking at some changes. And the mayor kind of had to toe a fine line between praising the officers, you know, recognizing that they put their lives, you know, on the line and at risk, while also saying they have to do better and we have to hold them accountable when they exert their power unfairly or, in this case, fatally. And so, you know, he kind of waffled. He went back and forth. They're doing a great job. We really appreciate them, but they have to do better. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, they've been talking to community members about issues of distrust. I talked to Chief Hahn afterwards, asked him to comment on the speech, and he didn't really want to, but would say that they just have to keep going to the community to talk to the community and try to repair and improve relationships there. That was about all he was willing to say about the speech, but definitely the police was a big part of it.
Here's something from Mayor Steinberg on the matter of policing.
There is much more we must do to bring clarity and safety to meet the spirit of the law and of our city's values. We must place more emphasis on the sanctity of life. And we must ensure our police response is not disproportionate to the suspected crime. The Attorney General said our police officers must see themselves as guardians of our neighborhoods, not as enforcers.
There's a lot of talk about our perception, Bob, and how we see things. And even before the mayor's speech began, that was something that the council member from that district, District 8, Larry Carr, addressed in how we see our neighborhoods, how we see people who don't live where we live but might end up a lot in the headlines, and that may end up being a jaded picture.
It was in contrast to the picture that we've been talking about here, which is of these specific areas, which are you can call them economically victims of economic inequity. But it's not the whole region. It's not the whole Meadowview region. Del Paso Boulevard gets confused with Del Paso Heights, but mm-hmm. Del Paso Boulevard is a very different area than Del Paso Heights. And so, what are we talking about? I think the mayor's speech may have been too broad, in that it was addressing this entire area. And Larry Carr came out first and said, "Look, we have the second or third lowest crime rate in the city." And we have these things going on, and there are improvements happening. But the mayor's point is that they're not addressing these specific neighborhoods or these specific people who have been, for whatever reason, have ended up in this circumstance. We need to help these communities, these areas. But it's interesting that there are pockets in maybe areas that are doing better, but the whole area is getting a bad name because of the problems going on in these smaller areas.
Sammy, a final thought about this.
I think the question now is just what's next. Audience members talked to me and they said, we don't want this to be a drive-by. We don't want it to be a one-hit wonder. We want it to be sustainable change. And it's going to be interesting now to see how they hold the mayor accountable and make sure that these promises come through.
Pauline?
Just to pick up on what Bob was saying about Meadowview residents are really tired of being seen as a high crime area, as a place where nobody wants to go. They really want people to know about some of the positive stories, the things that Jackie Rose is doing in schools, bringing arts and cultural education to kids. They want people to know about the diversity, which is incredible. It's impressive. New communities, Pacific Islander communities, Hmong folks. This is a neighborhood where first-time home buyers can settle down and contribute to the diverse diasporas of Sacramento. So you'll be hearing some of those positive stories from Capital Public Radio in the future.
And the long-term reporting that's happening in the Meadowview area. Thank you to each of you. I think unless everybody comes together with the different perspectives in the areas that we focused on, we sometimes can't get that whole picture, and especially not in a very short conversation like this one. So thanks again.
Thanks for having us. Thanks,
Bob Moffitt, Sammy Cayola, and Pauline Bartolone. You can see more of their coverage, and you can find a link to the entire speech by Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.